Welcome, everyone, to the Lev Church Podcast. We are on a mission to reach every soul, equip every call, and transform every heart. We hope this message blesses your life. Please follow us on all socials at Lev Church. Open your Bibles and tune in. So we've been in our new series entitled Heart of Worship. Today is part three. God has been really blessing us with his word, and just, you know, I'm doubling down on the way that we worship. I think that as long as we're worshiping Jesus, we should express ourselves, we should, raise our hands, cry if we need to in the presence of God, and really just give our all to Jesus. But last week we learned that God really delights in our worship expression. We've read so many verses on that. Our lifestyle should be one of worship and adoration. It's not just on Sunday morning, right? Our whole life is worship to God. It should be. And also that when we get together corporately, meaning together, God wants us to participate and contribute. So we saw that in the Church of Corinthians. One brought a hymn, one brought a word, one read, one. They had different functions. And basically Paul was saying, the church, we all contribute. And in the time of worship. And we also talked about things like rejoicing and praising in the presence of God. We read so many verses. Anyway, you can check out the podcast. It's on iTunes and SoundCloud if you want to hear the messages. They're on there now. And we also learned that as good children of the Lord, we actually bless God with our worship. He delights in it. He delights in our worship. But not just on Sunday morning, right? Like I said, it should include all days. And we as Lev Church, we value worship. So there's this, we have a set of values, and one of them is that we love God and that we worship him. So you can put that first slide up where it says love God and we worship. Oh, there it is. Now I just want to read this statement to you. Worship is our heartbeat. It's how we express our awe and love for God. It's more than a song. It's a lifestyle of honoring him. So this is who we are as a church, amen, and who the whole church is. It's just that we worship Jesus. So today I want to take you to a passage in the Word that really displays what happens during the time of worship, even when you're in a place that doesn't look the best. So let's go to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read quite a bit, so just bear with me. We're going to read verse 16. So Acts chapter 16, verse 16, and before we read, let's actually pray before. Usually we pray after, but let's read now because we have quite a bit to read. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, we just ask that you speak to us, that you equip us and transform us with your word, Lord. We thank you for your word. We receive your word, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, Acts 16:16. Now, what happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. So really quick, this young lady is possessed by a demon, and she fortune-tells, like almost like a psychic. Okay, verse 17. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation," and this she did for many days. Okay, so she kept following them. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and he came out that very hour. Verse 19, But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, which is like a dungeon, and fastened their feet in the stocks. But look what happens next. I'm sure some of you have read this. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That touches my heart. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Wow. When you read that all in context, isn't that beautiful? So we've talked about why we worship, how we worship, and obviously who we worship. And today we'll talk about what happens when we worship. Some of the things that happen. The first point that I want to tell you today is that the enemy doesn't want you to worship Jesus. Amen? That's my first point. He doesn't want you to preach about Jesus, to serve him, to obey him, and he definitely doesn't want you to worship our Lord. He doesn't care what takes your attention as long as it's not Jesus Christ. Once you begin to serve him and worship him, I don't know if you've noticed, but the attacks come. So this girl with a demon was sent to annoy and distract Paul and Silas. And this would end up actually hurting the man of God more than they hoped for, more than what they thought. The goal of the demon, listen, church, the goal of the demon was to quiet them, was so that they wouldn't preach the word of God, so that they wouldn't worship God, was to quiet the mission of God. Now, she is saying true things, but the source of her accuracy, the true things that she's saying, the source is demonic. So she's saying these are servants of God, but her source is demonic. That's why accuracy is not only it's not always the only test. The Bible tells us to test every spirit, according to 1 John chapter 4. Test every spirit to see if they are from God. We must pray for discernment, especially in our times today. There's so much out there. There's so many prophets and preachers and TikTok prophets and all of this stuff happening all over the world. So we today must be a people of prayer and worship to use and receive discernment. Are you with me, church? The Bible tells us also that you will know them by their fruit. Is there fruit in their life? Is there kindness and gentleness, faithfulness? Is there love? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there self-control in their life? So you will know them by their fruit. It's really important. Test the fruit. We should also test prophecy or what people say, what people speak. Is it biblical? Is it from the word of God? Is God backing it up in his word? And then finally, 1 John chapter 4 again tells us, test every spirit. That whoever is speaking the word to you, whoever is speaking into your life, that they are from God. Ask the Lord. The Lord will reveal it to you. Because you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we carry the presence of God. We have the Holy Spirit that walks with us and guides us. The Bible says that the Spirit leads us into all truth. Amen? So we must pray for discernment. And we root ourselves in the local church. That's always important. But Paul here uses discernment to cast this demon out. Although this young lady is saying true things, these are the servants of God. They come to preach, you know, salvation. He cast the demon out. Demons, they don't really know the future or can foretell it. What they know is perhaps human behavior, which they've studied now for thousands and thousands of years. What we look at, what we listen to, what we say, what moves us. They know fear moves faster than good news. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that fear is the only thing you watch on the news. Why? Because it gets clicks and views. It moves faster than good news. If you had a channel of only good news, it wouldn't be watched as much. Bad news travels fast. Amen? They study it and try to use it against us. I was thinking about this when evil spirits try to attack us in this way. It's similar to what the algorithm does on social media, right? I don't know if you've ever noticed, and you're scrolling online and you see like an Amazon home thing, like these gadgets. Aren't those gadgets so cool? I want all of them. And you're like, wow, this is awesome, and you like it. And then you're scrolling, and again, you get another and another and another. I'm like, what the? Leave me alone, right? They can even influence decisions in people's lives to do their will, which we saw in this young lady's life in the book of Acts. They can't look at the future, but perhaps they help to cause it. And so this is about people outside of God's will. These are people outside that are not in the kingdom of God that can be influenced in this way. And there's a reason why I'm telling you this stuff. Just give me a sec. I know it's about worship. There's a reason why I'm telling you this. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2 so we can begin to see this picture a little more clear. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. All right, so verse 1, we're going to read three verses there. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and he says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Verse 3, "among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." So you and I have been made alive, amen? We're alive in Jesus Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Jesus Christ that lives in me. But before Christ, the Bible says that we were going according to the course of this world. We can see here that the enemy does have influence over those that don't have Jesus in their life. Amen? I would say that worship is the complete opposite of verses 2 and 3. We see there verse 2, for example, "in which you once walked according to the course of this world." So I know that I'm alive in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But I also don't live for the world anymore, amen? I don't live according to their ways. Their ways are different than God's ways. See, there might be envy and jealousy and pride and lust of the flesh and pride of life. And I no longer live that way. I live for Jesus, amen? I live surrendered to him, amen? Doesn't mean there's perfection and that we won't fall and mess up, but I no longer live in the ways of the world. Amen? I'm not vengeful. I don't want revenge. I don't want someone to hurt me to suffer or something. No, I bless those who have hurt me. Amen? I bless those who do bad to me. I bless them. That's what Jesus said. So I no longer serve the devil in his will. I don't conduct myself in the lust of my flesh. That means, like, everything I want, I don't need everything that I want or desire. I just want Jesus. I'm focused on him, and I'm obeying him, and he blesses me with everything that I need and more. Amen? The Bible says to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. I obey Christ. I serve his will. I surrender my heart. I crucify the flesh, and I live wholly for him. This is worship. Amen, church? Even when I fall, I get up, I repent, and live for him. I fight temptation. I resist the devil, and he flees. I flee from sexual immorality. I want to run away from those things because I serve God, I serve Christ, and I want to obey him. Out of love. Out of love. Not because God's mad. Not because he's an angry God, and he kind of likes me. No, no, he loves me. He died on the cross for me and you, amen? And I do it in response to love. I believe the core of worship is this, that starting from our inner being, from within, we live separate lives, holy lives for him. That we are called to be living sacrifices for God. This doesn't begin at behavior, it begins with a transformed heart. This is the core of worship. It's spirit, it's truth. And this is what the devil hates. A life that is totally surrendered and sacrificed for Jesus. He hates it. An undivided heart. Nothing else has my attention in regards to worship and my adoration. Only Jesus. The devil does not want you to worship Jesus or to live for him. He wants to silence the worship of the church. He wants to quiet your worship to Jesus. That is the way that we live for Jesus. It's in our worship, separate lives lived for him, in our song, in our praise, in our joy. The devil will even settle to distract you from true worship. Amen? Are we worship leaders or are we artists? Are we performing or are we being led by the Spirit? Are we musicians or are we ministering to God? We should not aim for our results in worship to be superficial, right? Like worship leaders, numbers and albums and followers. No, it's, did we glorify Jesus? Is Jesus being glorified? Is Jesus being worshiped? Are we leading people to worship Jesus, not ourselves? Our aim here at Lev Church is to honor, praise, and reverence Jesus Christ above all. To express our joy, our awe, and love for him. That no matter what is going on in life, I will worship Jesus. Amen? Because a lot happens in life that wants to prevent me from worshiping Jesus. I'm telling you, there's a power in the place of worship when you don't want to and don't feel like it in your flesh. There's a power in that. Have you ever been in such a tough time that the last thing that you want to do is worship? To praise and praise God, to pray and praise God is the last thing that we want to do. Which brings me to my second point here. And that is that worship is not optional. Tell your neighbor, worship is not optional. It can feel counterintuitive at times because we might feel like our worship towards God is too difficult in difficult times. And yes, it might feel difficult, but there's a power that comes through it. It brings freedom and breakthrough. This last Tuesday, I had a pretty heavy day emotionally. And I felt the stresses of life. I felt overwhelmed. And I'm at work, not wanting to be there. And Tuesday, we have prayer. And I'll be honest with you, I wanted to just go home, sleep, maybe eat, or I don't know what order, sleep, eat, or eat, sleep. Either way, I just wanted to be in my bed. I just didn't want anything to do with anything. But something in me told me, like, go to prayer. You don't feel like it, but go. So I came, and I was tired, and I was overwhelmed and stressed out, and all of this stuff on me in my heart emotionally. But I came. Amen. Praise God. I came. I battled too, y'all. I came to prayer. We prayed. We sang songs. And then just the presence of God just came and just hit us. And we started to pray. We didn't want to stop praying, to be honest. We were just praying and praying. I don't know how we can pray so long. And we're just praying and praying and praying. Praise God. I just felt freedom. Amen? Yeah, praise God. Thank you. I just felt so much freedom. I felt so much freedom. I left that evening and I was like, wow, Lord, thank you so much. Look at what we could miss out on just because we don't feel it. I imagine Paul and Silas in the dungeon, in the inner prison, the Bible calls it. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas, that's Acts 16, 25. At midnight, y'all, I'm sleepy by 9 p.m. It's midnight. I've already woken up once at midnight to just go use the restroom. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I think the Bible narrative also is painting a bit of a picture here. It's dark. It's midnight. Not only is the situation dark, But they're in the dungeon where it's dark, and it's midnight, so it's even darker. But they're praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them, praise God. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, not later, immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. After being beat up pretty badly, because they're not just there in a good way, they've been beat up pretty badly. They shackle them with chains and their feet and their hands, and they're thrown in the dungeon and fasten their feet with stocks. And I don't know about you, but if it's me, I don't think I want to worship in this very moment. I don't think I want to cry out. Maybe pray a little bit, Lord, please help me. But worship is just another step. In this moment, if it's me, I think I might just want to quit ministry. Like, yo, this is too hard. Like, I'm getting beat up. No one's listening. I'm in jail. We might want to throw in the towel in this moment. It is difficult to turn to God from being beaten and bloodied and then turn that into a worship service in the dungeon. Maybe we would pray a little bit, but worship is just another piece. However, if worship were optional, church, Paul and Silas would have not been singing with bloodied backs in the Philippian dungeon at midnight. If worship was optional, they would have cared more about their situation than their God that they worship and they serve. But worship is not optional. If we want the power in God, let us worship with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. In these moments of difficulty, where we have an amazing opportunity to worship God through the pain, let's do it. Let's take advantage of it, because God moves in these moments. He moves in these moments. It's easy to get comfortable, easy to let the situation bind us and close our mouths. But let's not be people that are led by fear, that are led by feelings. But let's be led by the Holy Spirit. We can worship God through the struggle. And this is what sacrifice looks like. Now, Paul and Silas, they had a really tough day, y'all. This was not an easy day. This was not a bad day emotionally at the office. This is a really bad day. These circumstances are really, really tough. They came to set the captives free. They came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And they were met with opposition. They were met with violence. They were met with struggle. They came to preach the good news, but were not received in this pagan world influenced by Satan. But they worshiped. The threat did not stop them from worshiping in this dungeon. Or perhaps these sounds had never been heard before in this jail. They were not used to prisoners exalting the God of heaven and creator of all. Maybe Paul uttered some inspired prayers and Silas led in a song. We know they did the praying and the singing, but it was God who displayed his power. We know that it was Paul and Silas being led by God to worship and pray. It was them that did that. But it was God who displayed his power. Amen? The result is not up to us. The worship and obedience is. The rest, God will handle as we trust him and give him glory. Amen, church? This is where we land the plane a little here. Is my third point. Worship brings deliverance. The Bible says, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Wait, not just Paul and Silas, but everyone's chains. Verse 29, and then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Look what a prayer and worship service did in the dungeon. It led this man to be saved. Him and his household were saved. What if, church, what if we were to worship God in the deepest of struggle, so that maybe someone around us would ask, what must I do to be saved? How are you doing that? How are you worshiping God? How are you still going to church? How are you moving forward in Christ? Well, Jesus is the answer. He did what he did for me on the cross, and I believe he did. Then my response in love is to worship and praise my Jesus. I believe this is one of the best church services in the Bible. In the dungeon, they prayed and worshiped Jesus. When we worship our Lord, he shows up in a miraculous way. Amen? It's different every time because what he wants to give us is different every time. By the way, it would have been easy for Paul and Silas to escape thinking God had provided another miraculous jailbreak. But to them, the lives of others were more important than their own personal freedom and comfort. See, Paul and Silas were more interested in Jesus being glorified than their escape. Here God is demonstrating his power to use us even in our misery when we worship and turn our attention to him, when we set our hearts to worship God in the midst of all of our issues, he will bless our situations. I ask you this morning, what situations are you going through? Perhaps you are tempted to give up on Jesus and worshiping him. You perhaps want to maybe not worship anymore because things aren't working out your way. It's difficult. And I'll be honest, I'm number one in that line. Sometimes I don't, like, God, there's certain things in my life that I wish God would answer my way. Like, Lord, I'm turning 40-something this year, I'm not going to say. I wish things would have just lined up a certain way for me, God. And you didn't really, you know, I could go that way. But I choose not to think like that or even put that in my heart, in my mouth. I'd rather worship God through it all. I'd rather serve him. And he'll take care of the rest. But it's important for us to turn to Christ in worship and adoration. Let God worry about the situations that you think should add up. Let God worry about those things that you honestly can't even fix. Let him worry about those things. You worship Jesus. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Paul and Silas didn't feel sorry for themselves. They weren't like, oh, see, the world don't love us. People hate us. God, are you with us? No, they started to worship and pray to God. You're not defeated, church. You are not defeated. You are victorious in Christ. Amen? Amen? The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Christ is with you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Read about this same Paul. See what he says about suffering. We'll end here. So go 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Let's see, I think I did NLT on this one. Are you there? It says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through sufferings, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death. This is how they lived, y'all. But this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. Listen, church, this is for us. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Amen? When we worship, we're putting our attention on the things we cannot see. That is Jesus. That is heavenly things, mainly Christ. He is seated in victory for the work he did on the cross. So I ask you today, church, what's troubling you? What's taking your attention? I would ask, by the Lord's leading, turn your attention to Jesus. Give him all of your worship, adoration, and praise, and he will deliver you from whatever situation you're in. Here on this mission trip with Paul and Silas, there was deliverance all around. Deliverance for the first young girl, physical deliverance for Paul and Silas, deliverance from sin for this jailer and his family. When we worship God, God gives us deliverance in our situation. Amen? All right, let's pray, church.
We thank you for joining us for the Lev Church Podcast, where our mission is to reach every soul, equip every call, and transform every heart. We hope this message blessed you. Please follow us on all socials at Lev Church, and have a great week.